Hi, everybody, and welcome to Buzzing About Romance. On this episode, I, Leah, because I forgot to tell you who I am giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by a trio of authors who are part of the Poor Decisions collaboration series. I am welcoming Kelly Jameson, PG Forte, and Kate. I don't have your last name, Kate. Kate Davies.
Babies.
There we go. I forgot to type it. Sorry about that. So welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Hi, thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had done an author spotlight for Kelly a little while ago, and she had told me about this new series that you guys were coming up with, and I was like, ooh, I would love to talk to you. So tell me about where the inspiration for this series came from.
Okay, who wants to take that? So, PG, did we come up with this idea after we did our little wine trip?
Oh, no, we did it. We came up with it on the wine trip.
On the wine trip. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
So, PG and I went to Napa and Sonoma. She used to live close to there. And so we went on a little wine trip. And we stayed in, where did we stay? Calistoga,
the hot spring spa.
Yeah. And so we went to a bunch of different wineries. And for PG, this was old stuff. But for me, it was all new.
She was your tour guide.
Exactly. Yes, she was. And we did wine tastings, and then I guess that's when we had this idea that, oh, it would be fun to write a series set in a winery.
Well, we were writing books at the time while we were on this. We're holed up in our hotel room writing, and then we take a break and go out and taste some wine and go back in and rewrite it. I think it was that one tasting room assistant who was like so helpful. And so funny. It was at the
Menage a Trois.
And we were talking about it, and we were saying, oh, wouldn't it be great to write, books with people who worked in a winery? And then it became people who owned a winery and lived in a winery. And then it became three sisters. And then we're like, oh, we're missing something.
Yeah.
And that's where Kate comes in.
And that's where Kate comes in.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be invited to join in on the series and jumped at it because it sounded so much fun.
So, Kelly, you had told me this has been something that's years in the making, though.
Yes. Yes. It's almost embarrassing to say like how many years ago that was that the idea first came up. But we never let go of it totally. I mean, there was timing issues where, I had contracts and deadlines and I couldn't work on it. And then when I had time, somebody else had deadlines and contracts. And anyway, we didn't give up on it.
I moved twice.
Yes.
I mean, that's no easy feat.
Yeah. And then I had a couple of years of, well, maybe it was a good year of like burnout when I wasn't writing at all.
Probably at different times. It was not convenient.
At different times.
Mine stretched basically most of the time. My first new book in 9 years. So
really?
Very excited to be back.
That's right.
That is exciting. So the sisters themselves, like they're very different, but they all have similar issues like abandonment, like family, like dynamics are not so great. Like they've kind of splintered, and it really is about coming home and finding themselves and like who they are and who they really are along the way. But you each have different tropes and things like that. So how did you decide who was going to get what sister?
Oh, I wanted Allegra.
Yeah, that was a non-negotiable.
So you're like, I licked her, she's mine, like dibs on that.
Yeah. It was a very illegal move.
and I think actually Kate and I traded at one point.
Yeah, we did.
I was going to write the oldest sister And but then I can't remember why it was the storyline or the tropes
It
that.
was the fact that the hero of the second book was a hockey player, former hockey player. And I thought, why are you having me write the hockey player? That makes zero sense. So we
Actually,
put more.
as I was reading through the books, I was like, oh, Kelly has a hockey hero. What a surprise. Because it, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's Kelly Jameson. Of course, there has to be something to do with hockey in there.
Something to do with
And
hockey.
like, well, and honestly, I was like, hockey and weddings, those are like synonymous.
Yes. Yes.
Because we have talked on the podcast how Kelly, like, if you need a like a wedding romance, like Kelly Jameson has one for that.
Yes, apparently I do.
She
It
should.
was never planned, but I guess I like weddings.
So the prologue of all three of the books is the same, but it is told in the point of view of the heroine who is of the story. Did you, the three of you, write that together? How did that work out?
Actually, Kate wrote that.
Yeah, I wrote
Oh,
the
yeah.
first prologue and shared it.
Okay.
And I think it was fairly early on we decided that that was how we were going to handle the intro of each book.
Okay.
And as our books evolved and our characters evolved and changes happened, how many times did we all have to go back to the prologue and rewrite a sentence here, or who joins the Zoom meeting at this
Oh
point?
my God, the Zoom conversation. Yeah. It did have to be rewritten quite a number of times. Just tweaked, but
But so you had like the basic prologue, and then as like the characters unfolded, then you had to adapt from there. What,
I think
how
at
did,
one point when I wrote, oh, sorry, go ahead.
no, you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say that when I wrote the prologue originally, Bianca and Rosa were both at the will
Okay.
meeting. And then we decided, oh, no, that's not going to work. So I had to rewrite where Rosa was the only individual in the room during that time frame. So.
Which is when we had three different versions of who came on the call first. So it was like, oh, wait.
Yes.
I think that honestly, like listening to this, like I don't know if the stories would work as well if Bianca was actually at the lawyer's office.
Yeah, it wouldn't have. And it was a much stronger start to it with her also on the Zoom call.
So how did you decide who's like, I mean, you're doing it in order of kid, like oldest to youngest. Was that purposeful, or did you just kind of be like draw sticks and be like, I want to go first type of thing?
I think that was the plan.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it just it made sense given, you know, given how mine is made. I mean, first you need you had to deal with with the grapes and the crops, and then you needed someone to come home and start making the wine, and and then you needed somebody to show up late and bitch about the fact that nothing was ready for her.
I mean, and there is a natural progression
Which
because
she does.
book one happens, and then book two, like it is just a couple months later after the end of book two, and book three is just a little bit after that. So like the story, it there's contact throughout the story with the other sisters, and you get little Easter eggs and things like that, but the progression of it works really well. Now, when you were writing the series, did you plan it out together, or did you kind of just you wrote your book and said, I had this idea, I want this conversation to happen. How should this character speak, or how did you work those connections out?
Yes, and
Yeah.
I think a
Yeah.
little of all of
All of it. Yes, that's accurate, I'd say. We get together on Zoom and we talk about aspects of it, and then we, go back and write things, and we, text and say this isn't working, or we send chapters back and forth, and
Because that's one thing that I have seen. I've read a lot of different collaboration series. Some authors get it really right. Some it's not bad, but it just there's something about the flow that doesn't work. But the voice of each character really carries throughout. Because when we meet Jansen, who is book two's hero, his reactions and attitudes are fairly standoffish, but it's very true to form once you get to his book. And we don't get a lot of Clay. I mean, we get a little bit, but not a lot of Clay, who is book three's hero, which that's the thing. Like in book one and book two, we just get tiny little snippets of book three, which I'm sure was purposeful, but they're like enigmas by the time you get to their book. So it's like you had the most freedom, PG.
Yes, except I really kind of couldn't get into a lot of aspects until Kate and Kelly had their books pretty much set because I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know whether, in fact, I was like, okay, where did you leave off with this? Or where, what happened? What's going to happen with because, I'm like,
So like
I
you
don't
had
know.
ideas, but if Kelly didn't do it in book two, then it wouldn't have worked. But Kate had to
Right.
go from book one, like the flow had to go from
Which,
book one to book two. So would you say this was one of the hardest books you've written as a whole? I would.
No.
No. I had a hard time because this was the first book that I had written after coming out of that burnout. And I wanted to make it as simple as possible, which meant as little interaction between the other sisters as possible. And I think it was actually my editor who pointed it out when she looked at it for developmental edits. And she said, this is sort of sold as a family kind of saga thing. And there's not much family in this story. And I was like, oh, she's right. But I was trying so hard to keep it simple that I wasn't bringing the other sisters in enough. And so that meant a lot of rewriting for me, a lot, and a lot of adding other parts, and always trying to make sure that I was keeping the interactions true to, like in Kate's book, true to Rosa's character. So there was a lot of asking, read this, and if it doesn't work for you, let me know. And we wanted to make sure that that was happening.
That was.
And I was in the middle of my book writing it when Kelly got those notes from her editor, and I took that and said, okay, I need more family saga. I need more of the cousins and I need more of the sisters, because if that's something that she's seeing in Kelly's book, I need it to be consistent. We can't have just a, one couple romance and then have it evolve into a family saga. So I think there was a lot of not just getting each other's heroes and heroines right, but getting the other characters right too. Is Gino consistent through? Are the cousins consistent in their individuality? Are the voices right? And then I also had to, if I was writing it myself, if I was writing the arc of Gino or the cousins or the aunt, I would have gotten much further along with it, but I had to, it was kind of hard. I had to leave it so that there was room for that storyline to continue through the next two books. And yeah, that was a challenge for
Well,
me.
and that is one thing that really ties not just that they're sisters, but there is this overarching storyline with Gino and how, because we find out in the prologue, the girls get the winery. He is not happy. And so things happen, which I don't want to spoil, but there is almost like this mystery like side to it, because in book one we have all these mishaps, in book two things are also happening but in a different way, and it's in book th I haven't gotten a chance to read book three yet because
No.
PG is down to the wire, but that's okay because I'm really excited about it. But I
I'm
assume
channeling
that there are
Allegra.
things I'm assuming there are things that are happening there, but as we end book two, we find out Allegra is back and she's in not a great place, which again I'm not going to spoil, because but so like you get that cliffhanger and it's like, oh, what did she do? I'm really
All the
excited to find out what
things.
she did. Well, all
I
the
have to
things.
say, I think PG, you might have had the most challenging situation with having to write the last book with all three sisters together. At least in my book, it was mostly just Rosa and Bianca and Allegra piping in on a Zoom call once in a while. But you had all three of them together all the time. So that's a challenge, and I think you pulled it off amazingly well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm
I
really
had
excited
so much
to
fun
dive
with
into that. Well, because she just seemed like, I feel like Allegra, because like Bianca, as the book plays out, like she's like, I'm the typical middle child, and it's so I'm one of three, but the middle child in my family was the only boy. So like we did not have that middle child dynamic, but other people, like other families that we grew up with, like there were three girls or three boys, and so like I could see that. It's like you're the forgotten child, like as the middle. And Bianca really, I mean, they have the abandonment of their like their dad and their mom and things that happened there, and then she pieces out and she doesn't come back for a really long time. And then Allegra, she's like the typical baby. Like she's like, and I am the baby of the family, so I can understand that one. But it's like she just got does and is flitting around the world doing her thing, and legs, they don't know where legs is half the time.
Just
So
the way
also,
she wants it.
I love that nickname. I think it's great.
It really is pretty perfect for her, I think.
But that's the thing, because even Rosa, like you gave them almost the stereotypical like birth order. Rosa is the one that wants to please everybody, and as like you read her story, like you find out her and Jake have been married for years, and the reasoning like that has happened and why she gave in the way she did. And it's like she just wants to make everybody around her happy, but she hasn't made herself happy in any way. There's a lot of growth in these books.
Yes. Yes, there is.
And
They're just all
there's a
smiling and
really
nodding right now,
fulfilling
since
part.
nobody can hear anything. There's just a lot of nodding and smiling. What were you going to say, Kate?
I was just saying that was one of the things I really enjoyed about this project was to be able to take characters and show that growth and not just my characters, the side characters, and being able to bring them a little bit along and then see where they fly with the other authors. That just was so much fun.
Well, and there was a moment towards the end of Bianca's book where she has decided that she's leaving again, because that was always the plan. And Rosa and her are having this conversation. It's like, we've always respected you, but you've never seen that side of it because you've been so in your head. And I was like, that's a really important moment, because that was a big part of her thing. Like, she was never seen, but she almost forgot that she also has to see that she's seen, because it goes both ways. Like, there is respect there. It's just not in the way that she thought it was. And I mean, Gino didn't seem to respect any of them, but we'll find out why later, I assume.
Gino. We find
Yeah.
out enough, I think.
Yeah, enough.
Well,
Way to keep us hanging. You find out enough.
we find out enough, yeah. Because we might be keeping you hanging past the third book.
What?
Oh.
Is there
Although
gonna be
I don't know.
more?
Well, that's a good question.
Because we have cousins.
Yes,
Yes, we do.
I mean, you're not saying no.
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 It's possible.
Sometimes we know we're not.
I'm saying that I've called dibs on somebody whether or not they get books get written
Oh,
with.
yeah.
I see how it is.
Again. Yeah.
And the biggest challenge is everybody's schedules and what else they're working on. So I am really hopeful that it's not another 9 years till my next book. And so
Well, I hope it's not another 9 years to your next book, because I
you.
really enjoyed your story and the way it played out and your characters, and and all the things. And I will have to
Thank you
say, I
so
do
much.
love the titles. So we have No Way, Rosé, Gone with the Wind, and Que Sera. I don't know how to
Syrah.
pronounce Syrah. Is it just Syrah? Because it's one of those words
It's
where you see it and
Syrah,
you're like,
Syrah. Yeah,
it
it's
doesn't
slightly
seem like
different, but
it's. And I have hard words are hard, and it's hard to pronounce things correctly sometimes. But I just really enjoy the titles. Like, there's the perfect puns. I love a
That
good
was the
pun.
best Zoom call we've
Amazing
had.
name.
We had so much
Titles.
fun.
So you could
Narrowing it
write
down to
like
three is
forever
really hard.
just with the titles that you came up with.
We do have many other possibilities.
I've quoted
Let's
some of
just,
those too.
so have I.
Have you called dibs on different ones though? Because there's the question. Because you might have to duke it out if not. So let's talk a little bit about Allegro and Clay. Like I said, I haven't gotten to dive into them yet. But so are they going to be like enemies to lovers, or like where is their story going
Well,
to?
it's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet type of thing, at least from
Ooh.
Allegra's perspective, because her family doesn't really like him,
Okay.
and he really doesn't like her family.
I mean, he is Romeo, so. Did you do that on purpose?
Kind of.
It was a happy accident, so you just went with it.
His name, oh God, his first. I had the hardest time with his name. He was. He's. He's
How many
had.
times did it change?
Jesus, I have no idea. It had to be half a dozen. It was like every other. I'm like sending missives out. Okay, newsflash. This week, his name is this.
So you
But
had to do
the
this.
Romero name, didn't
Yeah,
you?
Romero came pretty early. But only after I decided, oh, this is a whole rum. She didn't know his name, and they were having a moment, and she's like, "We're like Romeo and Juliet," and I was like, "Oh, I have to use that." And so I was like, "How can I?" So I figured out that yeah, he she could his last name could be Romero, and she.
Like it's close, but not close at the same time.
Well,
That's.
apparently it's close enough if you got the sun in your eyes and you're kind of jet lagged and you're not looking at it really, really clearly.
I mean, those R's are elusive.
And you start calling the cop who pulled you over Romeo, and he's not impressed with this. Pretty well, I think.
I think she is just going to be a ball of chaos.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm nodding, but nobody can hear me nod.
I hope so. That was the
It's
plan.
super
We'll
fun
see.
chaos, though. Fun chaos.
Absolutely.
Some of the characters
I
think
love a
so.
chaotic
Other
heroine.
characters.
I do. There's just something about them. It's probably like my undiagnosed ADHD that I'm really like. I like identify with a chaotic heroine.
Many of
Well,
us do. Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully, it's not giving much away. But at one point, we got a character who describes her as manic pixie dream heiress. So.
I
Oh,
love
wow.
that. That's fantastic.
Oh, like a tiny little package of chaos.
Very entitled.
So, when you were writing these, like you all have your specific style, I assume, when you're writing your individual books. And I know that you like there's a lot of collaboration there, but was there more differences in the way in which you wrote the book itself, even with that, or did it kind of follow your typical style? Because I know some authors are they're very like plot driven, which clearly this was not that. But are you all fairly pantsers on other stories, or you're more plot driven?
No, I'm entirely a plotter.
Yeah.
So that was the difficulty for me. But on the other hand, we'd had experience before in writing things together. So
We have.
I think that helped a lot.
Okay. So you kind of have an understanding of like the way like the process works.
For me, I started writing my book and I was, I don't know, two or three chapters in before I realized that G and Kelly were both our books in the tense that I was writing past tense because that's all I'd ever written before. And so I had to go back and rewrite and change all of that. I'm in love with now the book I'm working on next. I'm writing first person present tense. So thank you. Well,
Yes, I recall that.
there are actually a lot of authors who are making the switch from third person to first person, and they find it very freeing. Absolutely.
I agree. I didn't think I would like it when I started it. It was
Same.
years back, but now I just love it, and it does. It is freeing. I love getting, I mean, I wrote deep third person, but with first person, getting right into their heads, I love it.
I find it depends on the character and the voice. Because if you don't have the voice, then it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's just
It
like I'm
loses
just,
something.
yes, that took a little while finding their voices.
Well, and that's, and there are some authors who like they say like I'm a third person writer, I'm never going to switch, and that works for them. And some like they only do first person. And I mean, there are some readers who they're very anti third person. Honestly, if you give me a book that's worth its salt, I will read it. It doesn't matter if it's third, first, or honestly, I'd read a book in second person if possible.
I
As
read a
long
short
as the
story in second person once. It was like, I enjoyed
That would
it.
be hard. Like, that would be so hard, I think.
It's challenging.
Well, and it's like that forgotten like number. It's like the middle child. It's like you know it exists, but nobody really talks about it. So are you like, since once the series wraps up, do we get an epilogue at the end of book three that like everybody that ties everybody back together again and like special epilogues in everybody's points of view?
Oh,
The same
well,
scene and the points of
there
view, like
definitely
we
is
have
an
the
epilogue.
prologue. Oh, there is an epilogue.
That's
There
a
is an epilogue.
prologue. There is not actually an epilogue at the very end from each character's.
No,
No.
that's true. But that's what the Christmas story is for.
I mean, I knew at the end of like book one that we weren't going to get something then because book two, like the time hasn't happened yet. But by the end of book three, like they're all together, they're all home, they're all blissfully coupled up. I mean,
A
I
Christmas
want
story
to.
would be a good way to do that.
I know. We could like do it in three parts.
There you go. See, I'm just adding more work for you.
Thanks.
Already have the cover, so it's like
Oh my
So you designed all three of these covers, did you not?
God.
And so you were like, oh, these they need a Christmas story. I'm just going to make a cover and tell everybody later.
We
Yeah,
need
pretty
a
much.
Christmas story cover. We need a box set cover.
We need some cousin covers.
When I'm
Yes.
supposed to be writing, we need covers.
Just a
Well,
distraction.
graphics and more graphics.
Why
There
not?
it
But they're
is. So book.
amazing. I love them.
Oh.
I think these covers are fantastic, and I will say, I love the fact that they have faces. 'Cause we get a lot of illustrated covers that don't have any faces.
No.
And I love a face.
I think there was an entire Zoom call about that.
Many of mine.
Yeah, I think so.
Or
I
at least several emails.
just put my opinion out there on that one. So book one and book two are currently out and available for you. Oh, Kelly froze, unfortunately. Book three is coming soon. It comes out
Don't have
the 27th.
Tuesday.
So at time of recording, it is not out yet, but at time of episode
Right.
drop, it will be out. So,
Yeah.
it's been like every couple weeks. Why did you decide to drop them the way that you did?
Don't know.
Why did we decide that?
Good question.
I was part of another multi-author series, and we had them come out. Was it 2 weeks or was it more? I thought
I
we
don't
had done
know.
it more and
I
really
think it
stretched
wasn't
it
it
out.
once
And
a
I thought that
month.
that was too, yeah, once a month. And I thought that was too long. So I think that's kind of why we went with 2 weeks.
Well, wait, didn't you also have a Christmas collaboration that came out every week for a few weeks?
Right.
Oh
And
yeah, the
yeah, so
short
we kind of
story
like, that's,
ones.
I think we split the difference instead.
Yes.
I think the 2 weeks works well because a lot of people, like I personally, can read a book in a day, but a lot of people,
Yeah.
it takes time to really dive into a story.
And I think we wanted, if somebody reads it, we want them to be eager to read the next one and to have it there for them.
Well, they will be, because I definitely, once I finished Rosa and Jake, I mean, I was fortunate to have Bianca and Jansen
Yeah,
like right on
right
my
there.
Kindle there, and I will be diving into Allegra and Clay's as soon as they're there. But thank you so much for, first off, writing this series, because I think it was a really different way to approach like a family winery series, because we get them, but it's different, like that inheritance side of it and all of those things. I really enjoyed the approach that you made in your characters. And thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
coming on and chatting.
Well, thanks
Oh,
for having
thank you.
us.
It's been great.
Yeah,
And
this
until
was super fun. Thank you, Leah.
Yeah.
Thanks. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.